Mulder Was Right is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/MWRcast. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Conspiracy like you've never heard it before. You're listening to Mulder Was Right with your host, Brendan, and co-hosts.
Hey, I'm Curtis.
Are we doing the weird intros again?
Yeah.
I'm Joe.
Go on.
I'm Sakeef.
Oh.
And I'm Andrew.
Oh.
And also Joe.
Anyway, so we have a special guest here. He's Andrew. If you didn't get if you don't listen to his podcast, you don't know what I just did there. But that's actually Andrew's intro of his podcast.
I thought that would be funny. Wondering if that's what it was. I appreciate the shout out there. Thank you. It's safe to say that you were not the voiceover.
Yeah, I actually
for that intro.
I am not. I actually did listen to both part one and two of The American Revolution. It's really awesome, guys. Definitely check out Andrew, his podcast, The Monday American, at any place that does podcasts.
That's pretty much what I would have said myself. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I should hire you.
Walmart.
Anyway, it's really good. I liked it a lot. I'm excited for part three whenever that
years,
comes out.
Years, for sure. Years. Yeah.
Sounds about right. All right, so this is part three of our 9/11 series. If you haven't listened to the first two parts, go back and listen.
Exposition. And how does that work in literature? It's exposition, and then Curtis, you're a creative writing major. You remember the
dude,
pyramid.
Why did you out him as a creative writing major?
You have to like finish your sentence.
In public.
Yeah, also
no one admits
that.
To that.
Would you be, no I, one does I don't that, tell man.
That's
that.
Not cool.
Sorry, bro. You're a writing person. How about that?
Oh, you're a writing person?
Yeah, sure. Also, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
You talk about the pyramid thing where it's like the rising action, climax, falling action.
Since I tend to do like multiple part things on one topic, I think I can take it away from the literature and just basically say like there's a story that you're picking up midway. You should go back and check it out from the beginning.
Sure, let's go with that.
Yeah, I mean, episode one is exposition, and then episode two through four is like
eargasms,
other parts of the story.
Yeah,
eargasms. Sure.
Wait, let's say episode two was the rising action. Episode three is the climax, and episode four is the falling action.
But the thing is that they're completely separate things, Sakeef. I mean, they're all part of the event, but like, it's just here's a thing, and then here's also more things. But there's not one that's more exciting than the other.
You can also just not start a 4-part series on part three.
Like, yeah,
there's rules. There's rules
about
these things.
What are you doing with your life?
There's no reason to continue arguing with ourselves about what part they should listen to.
Why am I even on this cast?
This is great content.
You can, you know, live your life, do what you want. Listen wherever, you know. If you want to start this episode 40 minutes in,
we will
go for
find
it.
You though.
Anyway, so episode one was about the backstory, the official story. Episode two was about the Twin Towers. Episode three, welcome to the Pentagon. Today we're mostly going to be talking about the Pentagon and the fourth plane. There's not much to talk about the fourth plane, but, you know, we'll get there.
The fourth plane of existence, Brendan?
Oh.
Yes.
Anyway, so why don't we just dive right in and everyone buckle up.
Poor time joke, dude.
And let's...
Very poor time joke.
Let's get moving. So, on the morning of September 11th, 2001, at 8:20 a.m., American Airlines Flight 77 boards with 58 passengers and 6 crew members. departs 10 minutes late from Washington Dulles International Airport. Dulles.
Sorry, it's the last name of us ex-CIA directors. That one's important to me. I'm going to be a douche about it.
Got it. So it departs 10 minutes late from the airport, and it's headed towards LAX, and there are 5 hijackers on board as well. At some time between 8:50 and 8:54, Flight 77 is hijacked and begins to head southeast. At 9:37 a.m., the flight crashes into the western side of the Pentagon, which starts a fire. Later that day, at 10:50, part of the Pentagon collapses due to fire. So that's the official story. That's the timeline. So we're looking at early morning, and that's sort of basically what happened.
So
I know,
as you mentioned last week,
I know
you kind of talked about a lot of buildings that you like. You brought up a lot of buildings that in history started like were on fire but never fell, and you know, you said the Twin Towers were on fire and they did fall, but we also attributed that to the fact that a plane, you know, planes crashed into the Twin Towers. Are you do you think that the same thing is true for the Pentagon, that the reason the west end fell was because not because specifically of the fire but because of the plane?
Well, it's important to note that these are actually two different types of buildings. What I was talking about last week was about steel high-risers, basically skyscrapers, whereas this, the Pentagon, is a lot lower to the ground. I don't know how many floors it has, but I think it's like 5.
Gotcha. Okay.
Max. So it's a very different structure. If you haven't seen the Pentagon, it's a big Pentagon. It's got like 2 different interior walls and everything. It's pretty fortified, especially the section that the that we collided with.
That we collided with?
Sorry, not we. The plane.
Okay, I thought you were going somewhere like
no,
deep.
No,
were you a part of the people that did this, Brendan?
I was not. I'm
is
a little
that,
tired.
Is that just a little
slip up? So yeah, yeah, there was a slip up.
Is Magneto still held inside the Pentagon?
Why do you think the plane was heading towards that specifically?
Oh my god.
Did I miss a reference?
Days of Future.
Days of Future Past.
Okay, so I missed that reference then.
Is that an X-Men reference?
Yeah. Oh. I love X-Men. The X-Men.
Yep.
I love the X-Men, dude. Like Wolverine. Easily the best super. Like, hold on. We're going to stop for a second. If you could be any superhero, who would you be? Hands down, I'd be Wolverine. A, because he was born before the Revolutionary War, so I could see all of them. B, because he's a badass. If you want to keep going down this path, we can do that, or we can get back on topic. It's up to you.
See, I want to go down this path, but I
won't
derail
Brendan. With this.
We're going to talk about somebody who is probably an opposite of a superhero right now. we're going to talk about Honey Honger.
What's his name?
Holly Hunter?
Honey?
Okay.
Honger.
Yeah, I know. I was just kidding.
So Honey Honger was born August 30th, 1972 in Taif, Saudi Arabia. Honger first came to the United States in 1991. 10 years before the event, to study English at the University of Arizona's Center for English as a Second Language.
If you're tuning into this episode and you didn't heed our advice about listening to part 1 and 2, I do want to make this disclaimer. Brendan, if you're big on how things are pronounced, Brendan will butcher everything he says this episode.
So that was a knife right in the back.
I'm sorry. It hurts every time I hear it. I just
so that was rude.
So I'm standing here, on the hypothetical highway, and just got hit by a bus.
Highway. His radio is loud.
Sakif threw me into the hypothetical highway to then get hit by that bus.
You know, next time you mispronounce a Spanish name, I'm
do
just
it.
Gonna get
I
on
at
you,
least
dog.
Try. I try, Joe.
Oh, you're saying he doesn't try?
Are you implying
trying? I'm a real life hypothetical Frogger.
No, I'm not saying he doesn't try. I'm just saying I do try.
Wow.
Like, when I'm just trying to defend myself. Like, I try. You know what? You're right. Brendan, I did throw you under the bus. I'm sorry. It was pretty mean.
Anyway, all of this is unrelated to...
Hi, I'm Andrew. I cause chaos. Nice to meet you.
We should get back on the topic here.
Yeah, so back on the superhero I want to be.
Hanihandra?
He ended up...
Okay.
Hanihandjor. Hanihandjor.
Okay. Okay.
He's a dude from Saudi Arabia. Yeah. He went to Arizona to study English. He then left in early 1982, only staying a couple months. He would return to Saudi Arabia to apply for a job with Saudi Arabian Airlines, which he was turned down due to poor grades. So, this is our guy. He really wants to be a pilot.
He went to Arizona. I don't understand why people decide to... I'm sorry, no offense to Arizona, but I don't understand why people decide to go to Arizona. It's just so hot.
If you want to fly, I think that's like one of the best places to learn. They have like some incredible pilot schools, I think.
It's true.
Really? Yeah.
Well, there's nothing else to do there.
I'm gonna talk about a handful of pilot schools. So.
There's nothing but air. In
there's
Arizona.
The petrified forest.
Maybe for
yeah,
you,
but things
nerd.
Melt in Arizona.
Rude.
Haven't you guys heard about all those like how hot it was this summer? Like people were literally boiling eggs on the side of the street. Plastic trash bins were
they
melting.
They weren't boiling them,
dude.
You can't.
All right,
you can't
if you
boil
think Arizona's hot, come down here in August because it's like just 10 degrees colder, but 100% humidity, and they have none. It's like you're dying of heat, but also drowning in your own sweat at the same time.
I mean, I grew up in Texas. I think I've got an idea.
No.
Oh, I got stories.
Brendan loves this.
About how bad
okay.
the heat
Brendan
was.
Loves this.
West, this is... first of all, West Coast or East Coast humidity is way worse than Texas. Moving on, though. You know, because... We got stuff to talk about. Come on, guys. So Hani really wanted to learn to fly. So in 1996, he returned to the U.S. He would land in Miramar, Florida, and would remain there for a month with some friends before heading over to Oakland, California. He headed to Oakland, California to study English so that he could head to the Sierra Academy of Aeronautics, which he had already been admitted to at the time. In August 1996, he completed the English program and headed to the academy. Guess how many days he attended?
17.
24.
3.
Sakif is the winner, but he still went over.
2.
The answer is he attended a single day and withdrew from the program due to costs. The cost was like $35,000. So it's pretty expensive.
Wow. That is pretty expensive for specifically to learn English.
Specifically to...
No. Right?
This was...
Oh, this so was his aeronautics class.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he finished his English class. He finished his English course and then went to... study aeronautics.
I mean, was he in a program for like test pilots eventually or Navy pilots or something? Because there's better ways to do that.
Not that I know of.
That just sounds so expensive for
a pilot. He was mostly, I mean, that was a really expensive school.
What
we're going to talk about
96?
Some other assorted schools.
Yeah.
96.
Okay. All right.
So now that's probably twice as much. I don't know. I don't know what inflation would do at this point, but.
Anyway, so his determination, though, he really wants to be a pilot, although he kind of doesn't want to put in the work. He just wants to become a pilot, but, like, just know it all. You know, but he can't afford going to this expensive school, so, like, I get it. Hanja would then head to Phoenix, Arizona, and he would take lessons at the CRM Flight Cockpit Resource Management in Scottsdale for a fraction
so
of the cost.
He's back in Arizona at this point.
Back in Arizona. Guess how much it cost to go to school?
$8,000.
$12.
A dollar.
$4,800. So significantly less.
Well, I thought I thought you said 48,000. I was like, what? And then I was like, wait, no, one less zero.
Unfortunately, he received poor marks and dropped out of school again and returned to Saudi Arabia. So you can see a pattern here. He comes to the U.S., tries to learn flight school, and then heads back to Saudi Arabia.
So was he in the Scottsdale school for, what, like a semester or a year? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was like a year-ish. Yeah, then he went back to Saudi Arabia. He would attend many other flight schools in the U.S. until he finally gained his FAA commercial pilot's license certificate in 1999.
I guess you don't need an airline to have an FAA license, but did he work for an airline, I guess is what I'm asking. Okay.
He did not.
So he's persistent. He eventually gets his pilot's license. I'm curious, he probably at some point, like, during his, you know, his hunt for a school, I'm just surprised that nobody was like, hey, you went to this other school and you failed. Should we really take you? You know, like, doesn't that raise flags? Like, you continuously fail in the same kind of coursework at other locations. Why would it be different here? Kind of deal.
I mean, he technically didn't fail at the first place because
he only went for a day.
Just dropped out of school due to costs. And you know, nobody knows. Like, I'm not going to judge somebody for not finishing a school based on potentially family work or like
or
family
no
or something.
In
I don't
how
know.
To land the plane.
I mean, that's its own separate thing.
Sorry, that sounded like such a douchey comment.
So, the instructor claimed that he did satisfactory when getting his FAA license. While attending school, FBI informant Aki Collins claims that he told the FBI about Hondra's activities in 1998. He claims that he did not study very hard and would party often. He warned them about more and more foreign-born Muslims were taking flying lessons, which was interesting. He felt like that was weird, so he let the FBI know. Now, the FBI does admit that they paid Collins to monitor the Islamic and Arab communities in Phoenix, but they deny that he told them anything about Hondra. So basically, we have some dude saying, hey, something's going on. There are more and more people trying to learn how to fly stuff. And, you know, this is literally an example of racial profiling, for the record.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Very much
can
so.
Can I bring a point up that maybe will come across the wrong way, but I promise you it's not intended like that. If
sure.
I'm teaching
Go ahead.
People how to do, like, let's say I'm teaching people how to ride a bike. And it's just like a mixed group of people the whole time. And then all of a sudden it is just one group of people, like heavily, heavily and like very concentrated. That should raise some flags, right? Like maybe it's not like riding a bike. Obviously you can't use that as a terrorist weapon, but do you see what I'm saying? Like
potentially,
I get the
racial
profiling
also,
there for sure. But yeah. If I was in his shoes, I'd probably been like, I don't know if I would have called the FBI, but I would have been like, this is odd that, I mean, if you're just a businessman, you're looking at your demographics and your customers, and you're like, all of a sudden it's just foreign born Muslim men. That would raise some kind of question at least. Right. Do you get what I'm saying?
I mean, Collins, by the way. Yeah, I understand. Collins was in fact an FBI informant. Like that was part of his job. Yeah, like he didn't call the FBI just on a whim. He like that was literally his job. He was put there to do this.
Well, forget all that
now,
then.
I don't believe I mean, in that case, I don't think we would raise flags if it were like if it all of a sudden became a group of white men necessarily.
Sure.
just because of how we're conditioned, you know, we wouldn't see that as a red flag, but, you know, so I understand That's your fair. Point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just,
yeah.
Is it awkward now? Is it awkward now?
Anyway,
no, it's so, okay. Discussion is good.
Information has been sent to the FBI about this guy, as well as, you know, some of his friends. Honjer tried once again to start working for Saudi Arabian Airlines, but was once again turned down. He was turned down because he was not admitted into the school in Jeddah. So that was why he was turned down. I don't know why that's a prereq to work at a specific company, but for whatever reason, that's what the source that I saw online said. So he was unable to get that job again. And so he was kind of bummed. And so he turned to religion, like many people do after something bad happens in their life, like they don't get a job or anything like that. So he turned to religion. And then he decided to head somewhere else. So he told his parents that he needed to find work, and so he was going to head to the United Arab Emirates to find work. But it's actually suspected that at this point he went to Al-Qaeda training camps in Afghanistan. Now, I just want to point out that Honjer is the only 9/11 terrorist to set foot in the United States before the event, like before trying to do the event, because like all of them were in the country beforehand, but he was the one who came the soonest, and
like they had all come to train for the event because of the event, and he was just there before on his own for other reasons in his life.
Yes, sir. Yes. So he's the only guy, and you know his English is like pretty okay at this point because he's taken like two different English courses, and I think he takes a third one at some point. But anyway, so he heads to the Al-Qaeda training camp, and this is where he initially hears about the plot. Now, the plot, I think, came up in, I don't have the information in front of me, but
can
we talked about
I,
in the first episode.
Can I pause this real quick? Did you skip over how he got to Al-Qaeda training camp?
He just went there. Basically, okay. He had friends who was like in Al-Qaeda, so that was his in. And the fact that he had already done some pilot's training and had his license was a big draw for Al-Qaeda because
they
it's
recruited
not,
him.
You know, despite what everyone thinks, it's not super easy to get your pilot's license.
Yeah, my whole family is pilots. I'm like the one non-pilot. Yeah. That didn't add much.
Yeah, a sky car seems hard to drive.
It's true.
I'm sure that'll become relevant later, though, Andrew. Because, I mean, like as we're talking about planes, so I'm sure, like, sure you probably have enough information, like, about flying and planes that you might be able to like help us.
Not really, man.
You know,
I mean,
at least clarifying.
I know they go in the sky and it's magic and they don't fall. So.
All right.
Yeah, do you know how heavy an airplane is?
It makes no sense. They should not be allowed to. They should not be able to fly.
Yeah, do you know how heavy
They're
an airplane
extremely
is?
Extremely heavy.
Because we're going to talk about that later.
How heavy is an airplane?
It's like super fat.
It's like several tons.
Like all airplanes are 15 pounds.
But the big
all
ones are like 25
pounds.
Whoa.
Those are the ones that eat Twinkies.
Yep. Anyway. So, Honjer and the other pilots and all of the hijackers were in the country by May of 2000. Now, Honjer was doing some, refreshment courses, as well as some of the other pilots. They're doing some refreshment courses in Florida.
I think you're right. That rings a bell.
So Honjer applied for his student visa, which was approved. But after the attacks, it was reported that his application was suspicious, but no one did anything about it. He still got it. He also had failed to reveal that he had entered the United States before he submitted his application.
Hmm.
So throughout the time leading up to the attack, Hunter would head all around the United States doing a bunch of different stuff, basically just doing some scouting as well as doing some like practice flights. He wanted to know like the sort of security, so he was doing some like cross-country test flights. And you know, while you're doing work, sometimes, you know, you got to have fun too. So he and some of the hijackers would often travel to Las Vegas, in mid 2001, where they reportedly drank, gambled, and visited many strip clubs.
Okay.
Party time.
Excellent.
Party time.
Yeah, you might as well.
All right.
So it's very important to note that, because a lot of the reasoning for behind this, and a lot of reasoning why they get suicide bombers to do this type of stuff is because they're highly religious, which this is not highly religious behavior, especially in Islam. Like, it's a big red flag there. Some of these guys were kind of just hotheads and were just like, yeah, man, fuck the Americans, we're just going to fuck them up. And they weren't really too religious. But it's supposedly said that Hondra was religious, so it's a weird issue there.
Mm-hmm. They could just all be hypocrites.
They could also just all be hypocrites. So, yeah. And so, on the morning of September 11th, 2001... Hunter and his other terrorists boarded the plane separately, so they were trying to pretend that they didn't know each other. Each of them had to go through additional screening, but were absolutely just allowed to go on the plane. They didn't confiscate anything from them at all. So there's a lot of... Like, this is the weirdest manifest out of all of the manifests of the planes that went up and crashed that day. There were 58 other passengers with 6 crew on them. And there's a lot of notable people on this flight. So we're going to talk about a handful of them. There were 3 employees from Boeing on this flight. There was an employee from Raytheon, which does all the Army stuff. There were 2 employees from the Department of Defense, 3 employees from the Navy, 3 employees from the Army, and as well as Barbara Olson. Now, I know that my guys won't know who Barbara Olson is, but I'm sure maybe Andrew might. Okay, so she was the wife of the United States Solicitor General.
Dude, I'm not that nerdy, man. I just gotta let you know.
I was just about to say that. How dare you just assume that I don't know things? She was the wife of whatever.
I was going to guess she was the mother of the Olsen twins.
Seems safe.
That would have been a bigger travesty.
Would it have been? They were hot for a minute.
Or a blessing, you know.
Yeah. Then like
it gets the best of you, trust me.
There's a bad joke in there, but let's move on.
So you have a handful of people who... very much probably should have stopped. And like, there were some other people on the flight, too, that I just didn't talk about.
Wait, so you're saying, like, these people should have been able to prevent it from happening?
Yes,
or
you're
saying, like, Barbara let us down?
Damn Barb, now she's in the upside down.
Barbara did 9/11.
Barbara, you could have stopped Pentagon 9/11.
Pentagon 9/11. Now, but like there were like 3 employees from the Army, 3 employees from the Navy. Like theoretically, that's 6v5.
So
they should have been able to take them down.
There's a lot of people working for the government on this plane. Essentially, is what you're saying, and they should have been completely capable. At least a handful of them should have been capable of taking care of the situation.
Yes, and you know, say they ended up killing the pilots while they were up in the air. So theoretically, only Hunter could have landed the plane. But that's like not even true because you have like multiple employees from Boeing. You have multiple employees from American Airlines on this flight too. So like, there's a lot of different people.
Do you know that?
I don't know their job positions. Just give me assorted numbers. And you know, theoretically, like some of them maybe they don't know how to fly, but like it's pretty common for pilots to take rides on planes as like a passenger. To go somewhere else to then, you know, pilot sure. a plane.
I just always play devil's advocate in scenarios like this. Just like I that's how I try to keep myself looking at an event with like the most neutral possible stance is like try to see it from both. So I just end up coming across as like I'm challenging you entirely on everything you say. I'm not intending to do that, but like
I encourage it.
Like I'm in sales, you know. Like if I was in Boeing, I wouldn't have any idea how to land a plane. I've got a good idea that you put the wheels on the ground, but I couldn't actually make that happen, you know. But that being said, there are a lot of government employees on that plane. Do we know what they we found the black box for that, correct? We did not?
We did not.
That's bullshit.
We did not.
They have it.
Find the what?
The black box recording. In like every plane, like it's in a black box of like
it's
like covered it's in like Superman's turd. It like never will to be destroyed.
Yeah, adamantium.
So even
adamantium, just like you won't be made out of
what?
Like it's covered in adamantium, just like not you won't covered, be covered
dude.
In
full of. Get it right,
that's,
man.
That's how Wolverine.
You rookie.
That's how Wolverine died.
Anyways, adamantium. I know that was guys. I nearly anyway, cried.
That's
but
how Wolverine
anyways,
died.
So there's a part, so it's a black box that even if like the plane crashes, like it's not going to damage this.
Yeah.
Box.
They recover it from like, yeah. Do you guys remember? Yeah. So I might, who else, Joe, you were, you're as old as me, aren't you? Ish. All right. Do you remember like TWA flight, whatever that was, that crashed in the ocean, like in the early 90s, it was a big deal. It was like one of TWA's last flights until people were like, "Yeah, we're not going to fly with you anymore. You've crashed more than you've landed." They found most box. Of the black box recordings. Like, I guarantee you, they have the black box recording for the Pentagon crash. Like, there's zero doubt in my mind. Mm-hmm. They recover that from every crash that they have legitimate damage of. They found them for the Twin Towers planes.
Well, but we don't. Brennan, were you getting at that we don't have this recording? We don't have the black box from the Pentagon flight?
Not publicly.
Not publicly. So you think they're hiding something?
Yeah. That sounds like they're, to me, sorry, I'm not Brendan. Brendan, you talk.
Well, I mean, Andrew, no, I mean, like, feel free. Like, if you're, well, but yeah, Brendan too. But, I mean, do you think this could mean, like, this might, there might be evidence of, like, I don't know, like, this could have been an inside job or... You know, like, I don't know, something. Again, devil's advocate.
To me, like, I've been pretty vocal about how I'm not really on board with this conspiracy theory particularly yet. Part of me just doesn't want to admit that, which is, like, kind of a historical trend. Like, a lot of the people in the JFK era did not want to admit that that could have been done by the government. And now I kind of understand it because that's something that happened in my lifetime. But if you're telling me that they said they do not have the black box recording, I'm raising a flag right there. That's my first, like, where I'm like putting my foot in the water, jumping into this conspiracy. Cause that's just, to me, that's complete bullcrap. They find almost all of them. And that thing just kind of hit the building in the ground. Like they find those all the time. They found it under the wreckage of the Twin Towers from two planes. I'm getting a little bit fired up about this right now. Anyways, yeah, I mean, that just screams red flag to me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the sources that I looked up said that they weren't found. That being said, as you guys were talking, I just Googled the Pentagon black box.
And...
We found it September 14th.
So 3 days later. You can still have faith. We did find it 3 days later.
So do we just cut out everything I just said?
Yeah. No, it. I mean, it's fine. You know.
All right. Well, I'm back on. I'm back to your opposition. Then convince me. Go ahead.
You can have faith in the U.S. government again.
Very little.
All right.
So, Brendan.
Mm-hmm.
So say you're a terrorist. We're gonna play a game.
I'm a terrorist.
Yo, me too.
All right. So we're all terrorists.
I don't know if I want to play this game.
Apart from Sakeef. Right,
thanks, Joe. I'm not in this game.
Got you, dog. Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Okay, so you're a terrorist. And so you're trying to inflict max damage on the Pentagon, right?
Yeah. You know? Yep. I'm trying to.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
I'm going to go punch it.
I'm
headbutted.
Where do you aim your plane?
At the the Pentagon's kind of like a big donut because there's nothing in the middle, right?
Isn't it like glass in the middle?
Sort of. No, it's a courtyard.
It's like a glass
courtyard.
There's just a courtyard. So I think the courtyard's nice, sure. So I don't want to hit that. So I want to like fly the plane and crash it in a big circle so that it starts crashing at one end of the Pentagon and it goes all the way around and finally crashes back.
Hey man,
where I started crashing.
You do a lot of drugs, don't you?
So I'm going to aim for their parking lot. Like I'm going to fuck up the parking lot for like at least a couple weeks. Maybe
dude,
get a couple of their cars
at this. You guys are really bad at this.
Brendan, you mentioned that...
I just learned I was a terrorist today, Andrew. Give me a break.
Brendan, you mentioned that he did some... I'm sorry, I can't remember his name very well. It was a little bit difficult. But you mentioned that the guy we're talking about, who piloted the plane and did all the piloting school, that he did scouting, right? Beforehand.
Like he tested like air security, but he didn't go to the Pentagon.
Okay, he didn't do any like specific scouting of the Pentagon. Well... theoretically, if you kind of have an idea of how the Pentagon has been structured, I mean, I know it's a Pentagon, so, you know, but...
Zakeef, Google an image of the Pentagon.
I'm going to do that.
Also, try to Google it as passive-aggressively as he just told you to do it.
So...
yeah, right in the middle.
So Andrew, how would you crash?
Wouldn't choose the Pentagon because there's no real good target there, to be honest with you. But if I was going to do it, I'd probably do it the way they did and just ram a wall and hope that you get a good section.
Yeah. There is no good spot to hit the Pentagon.
Yeah, it's like literally actually Curtis's idea legitimately was like if you could literally bend the rules of physics, that would be the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. If you could,
or you
could
have
curve the bullet.
Planes,
they have a pretty
one plane is like you're just kind of throwing a Hail Mary. Like, well, I hope someone important and something important is in the section I happen to land in.
Yeah, that exactly. You're probably looking for the spot in the Pentagon. If you're a terrorist, you're probably looking for the spot in the Pentagon that's like where the most important officials reside in.
Yeah,
or
and that's not like easily broadcast. You know.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I agree. So. They don't probably like have. Do you think that they have diagrams of like of the Pentagon and like where particular offices and people are stationed at?
Not publicly available.
No.
Okay. Yeah. So there wouldn't be like a solid place to land.
So the way I would do it is I would nose down on one of the branches. Like I wouldn't nose down in the courtyard, but I'd nose down in one of the branches.
As opposed to collide, so like head on.
So you're going
collision
for the underground portion of it.
I mean, because I feel like that would inflict the most damage because, you know, like, first of all, it's an easier maneuver. So you're flying and you just nose down and go straight down into one of the
branches. You said the Pentagon's only about, five stories?
It's not very tall at all.
Compared to the Twin Towers. I mean,
yeah,
Yeah, you're probably doing a lot more damage. You probably have a lot, like, you're probably getting a better hit if you nosedive.
If I may.
Debris probably goes someplace.
I remember... one of the things I remember very well on that day was how skillful a pilot would have to be to get that plane at that speed and, according to the pictures, like banking it like that and actually hit that target. Like they had Navy pilots and fighter pilots saying like that was a very skilled maneuver, and going at that speed, altitude, and like that angle, like that pilot was a incredible pilot to be able to do that, and it was very odd.
Or do you think it? Or do you think it was just dumb luck?
I mean, it could be, but that's like one of the things they were talking about is like all those pilots they interviewed were like, that's you don't just get lucky like that. Like to be able to put yourself in that position, first of all, you have to know what you're doing. So I always thought that was interesting. Like,
so the guy who failed flight school like at least once, you know, like he was able to pull off this like hard to do maneuver and crash into the Pentagon. That's what we're getting at right now.
He's described as not a very good pilot, which is why we played the game. Let's pretend we're terrorists here, because we're probably as good a pilot as Hani Hunter.
Better names for sure.
Anyway, so let's talk about. I mean, because that's how I would do it. I would nose down onto the Pentagon like that. But let's talk about what happened. So the plane hit the west side of the Pentagon, which coincidentally at that time was the only side that was highly reinforced. I want to say in the year 1992, they were like, hey, you know, we need to reinforce this, you know, because this could be potentially a spot for terrorism to happen. So they reinforced that wall and were in the process of finishing up that wall, actually. Within the next couple
conspiracy.
Days.
Conspiracy. They knew
that wall was going to be.
They knew it was
going to
happen.
That wall was going to be done.
That's interesting.
They totally
That's
knew.
So
they
interesting.
Totally knew that 9/11 was going to happen. This is
That's so interesting
right there.
That they did that.
Normally, if they would hit, say, literally any other wall whatsoever, it would have probably killed thousands of people. But it only killed around like 100 something. For this actual hit, because it was under construction, so there were less people in that side of the building.
Okay.
So.
But so, like, the insinuation is then, so they were reinforcing the wall so they knew it was going to happen?
I mean, they were reinforcing the wall since 92.
Okay. Wow, they work really slow.
Yeah, that's
that wall.
9 years of reinforcement.
Well, that building right? goes down like 100 stories into the ground or something like that. So you have to like, and they're it's first of all, it's government work. When did they pave a road quickly?
Exactly.
Yep. I was gonna make
same.
Sakeef, have you ever been to a DMV?
Yeah, yeah.
We're bringing that.
I get
back
money
up.
Every time you
We're
say
bringing
that.
Back.
I get money every time you say that.
Have you ever been to an airport? They're constantly under construction. Like every single time I go to an airport, there's just something going on. So,
anyway, so
wait, I don't know what
it
about.
It took some time to get this done, and then it's funny because then they had to redo it.
Yeah,
so
that's really
that's
funny, Brendan.
But
really
the damage,
funny.
Yeah, so funny. Ha ha.
Hey,
ha.
Hey, after the fact, how ironic is it that they're just about to finish this project and then they have to redo it? I think that's pretty funny, ironically, after the fact, if you don't factor in how
but
many people
can't,
died.
Because they did.
Yeah, you have to factor how many people
if
died.
If you take out the tragedy.
So have you ever heard of what revisionist
yeah,
history is, Brendan?
I'm not a terrible person.
I don't think you are. I think you're pretty.
He said, terribly.
Hey, funny.
I also want to point out that there are very few videos of the Pentagon actually getting hit.
Yeah.
There's like four different videos, and each of them have a terrible frame rate. So basically, you see nothing, explosion into the side of the Pentagon.
Are you saying that there's better footage of the Twin Towers incident than there is of the Pentagon incident?
Oh yeah, by
oh yeah, there's
a ton of shot.
There's a ton of footage of the Twin Towers.
Yeah, I mean, well, like New York is like
the Big Apple,
just like downtown New York's a big tourist destination where everybody's always, you know, recording their vacation, and so people were doing that. No one's really vacationing.
You think they have cameras running though?
Yep.
Exactly. Yes, they would probably have cameras
installation in the country.
There's one camera that catches it
on
film from from the Pentagon. Yeah, it's from the parking lot.
See, my plan would have worked.
And once again, it's just nothing, 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 big explosion.
Yeah, well, yeah, security cameras don't have very good
at the
frame
Pentagon
rates.
Yeah. They should.
And
though,
you know,
like,
theoretically,
this is pissing me off. Like, where are tax dollars going?
Have you ever been to the DMV?
Yeah, you guys are making me a wealthy man.
So, I mean, and the plane was going very fast at the time.
Yeah, it's yeah. Very, I can buy that. Like when you watch like footage of someone robbing a gas station, and yeah, you're right. Maybe the Pentagon should have better cameras than a gas station does, but maybe they don't. You know, that stuff's really choppy, and I can imagine a plane.
I'm with Andrew,
like
though.
An
I think that it's ridiculous that the Pentagon wouldn't have better cameras. You know, like it's a
but
government
also, they're not
facility.
Setting up, they're not setting up their cameras to try to like record airplanes crashing into their building. They're trying to set up their cameras to like see people walking around in the parking lot and see shit going around on the ground.
Yeah, but that
you know?
Should
they're
still
not,
mean
the
they have better
the
cameras
sky.
Than a gas station.
You could have gotten better footage with
but the
a
cameras
Nokia
aren't pointed
Razor.
At the sky.
Come on.
To be
did you just Google what
no,
phone was
I
in
legit remember having a Razor in high school and I came up with Nokia right at the last second and I gambled and it paid off.
All
right.
Also did you say 2005?
2001.
Okay.
So two things. One, if the camera was pointing into the sky, it would not have caught it either because, remember, it came pretty close to the ground yep. and sort of like a parallel shot. Number two, there is actually footage from a gas station of this
Are you
event.
Freaking kidding me? A gas station?
But it's like,
what?
In the far
a
corner.
Gas station.
But it's like, yeah, I mean, it's like in the corner. You basically just see an explosion
That's
of
bullshit.
The distance. Sick. There's four different camera views that have been
one's just
that have been
a
told.
Giant.
One of them is in the Pentagon parking lot, and like the other three are just surrounding
That's horse
businesses.
Shit.
One of them being a gas station.
I'm so pissed about that.
I think you're winning Andrew back over. Well,
why in God's name do you have a part like Joe from the parking lot who's like dealing weed to his buddies on his like side shift is getting caught in grainy footage at the Pentagon? But nothing else. I'm angry. I'm angry today. Yeah. I need to calm down.
I'm angry that I got caught selling weed to my buddies.
I picked Joe as a well, I meant you specifically. Okay.
Thanks.
Let's keep going because I'm clearly clearly level headed right now.
And so let's talk about how the plane got there. So Andrew alluded to it a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
from the
like,
sky.
Did it.
So.
From the sea dog.
So we're going to talk about the maneuver because once again, Saqib doesn't know much about the Pentagon here. And I'm just, you know, we're just talking about the Pentagon anyway. I know Saqib doesn't know much about the actual crash.
Yeah. Why are you just talking about Saqib?
You know, Saqib,
I believe Brendan and I talked about how I barely know anything about the Pentagon. And I think that's why he's singling me out right now.
He's doing it pretty aggressively. And we just want to make sure you're okay.
He talked about it literally last week, how he didn't know much about the Pentagon.
No, I remember.
Saqib, Google the plane trajectory. Basically, what happens is that it's coming up to the Pentagon, and it does this huge 330-degree turn in order to basically descend and lower the altitude, and then does a full turn, and then crosses Washington Boulevard, knocks over
That's right.
a couple lights. One of those lights hits a taxi. But like at this point,
man,
the plane is very, very low to the ground. And so I have a...
Uh-huh.
I have a couple different sources that claim two different things, so we're going to talk about those. But basically, once it gets that low, it then collides and hits the Pentagon.
Okay.
So it does this big circle.
It does, yep.
And, you know, once again, we're just talking about Hondra being that pilot.
He failed out of pilot school and pulls off a crazy maneuver
yeah,
in a commercial jet.
Yeah, when he was flying that plane up there, there were several people who felt that, like people from the airport nearby, they were like, "This guy's a professional pilot." That they thought he was someone from the Air Force. They thought that they were that the Air Force scrambled the jets and were basically like he thought he was an Air Force pilot, which in fact he wasn't.
He was the opposite.
He was pretty damn close to the near opposite.
Do you know what kind of plane it was?
757.
How many engines is that? Like four?
I think so. It might just be two. Okay. I think it's two. So yeah.
Thank you. Two. I just Googled it.
Yep. So pilots claim that, you know, it was near impossible, which is exactly what Andrew was saying earlier. Now, it's important to talk about the landscaping of the Pentagon right now. So outside the Pentagon, there's a bunch of grass. And there are two different conflicting ideas on sort of what happened at the Pentagon. Now, Snopes.com claims that the plane hit the ground and basically just sort of like a rock just skipped across, which would leave damage on the grass. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of the other sources, such as the documentary Loose Change 9/11, An American Coup, claims that there was no damage happening to the grass. And this is very important to talk about because, like, he was going very fast. And so, theoretically, if he... I mean, because there's little damage that happened to the Pentagon. Like, comparatively, there's very little damage.
Well, like you said, so, the point of impact was somewhere that they were actually trying to reinforce, too, so...
Yes, I mean, that's also important to talk about, but, like, if it hit the ground and if it skid across the ground, that would have slowed the plane drastically. So it would have changed the speed, changed the impact force, so it would have been a lot less. Mm-hmm. But if it collided head-on and no grass damage, no skidding, it would have theoretically provided more damage. Or potentially, the plane could have potentially not even been a plane. Because after the fact, there's not much left of United Airlines flight. What is it? 77, I think that's what it was. 93.
The plane itself.
No, 77. Yes.
The plane itself is disintegrated.
Yeah. There's not much. There's no luggage. There's no bodies. There's very little. Like, it takes a lot of force to, I'm sure, blow up those 5-ton engines. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you just can't find them.
So those people,
like, in any of the pictures,
those people essentially burned alive.
They probably didn't feel a thing.
Well, they died on impact. Yeah, they easily died on impact.
Like, how fast were they going? Like 700 miles an hour,
something like that. It's an astronomically
high
number.
Like, that, they got a quick death. Like, they legitimately probably did not have their brain didn't have time to register. Like, they had hit. Pain is happening. Like, they just vaporized from the crash and fire. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a scientist, so.
So, once again, it's important to talk about the landscaping here, because a lot of people claim or think that an airplane didn't hit the Pentagon.
Okay. But we have footage that says otherwise. Or are we saying we
have
the footage isn't
that
enough?
Shows nothing explosion.
Okay. Yeah, right. That's, yeah.
You can.
You did say that.
Yeah. In the show notes, there's going to be the video for the Pentagon footage.
Well,
and so you're going to see nothing.
So,
an explosion.
If people think that the Pentagon, like, the damage to the Pentagon wasn't because of a plane, what else do they think it could have been?
A missile, like, I think, was one of the theories.
A missile. And it's not just based on the landscaping here, based on the grass, but it's also based on the fact that the hole is a lot smaller than theoretically a plane would make. So, for instance, the hole that you're looking at, and if you Google an image of the damage, you can see basically the hole there, the hole that the plane made. The hole was 20 feet in diameter between the first and second floor. And there's damage extending for 90 feet. Now, a Boeing 750...
It was like 20 feet tall, 90 feet wide.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not like... It's not like that whole
rectangle.
Oval. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think it was.
Yeah. So, a Boeing 757 is 155 feet long, 44 feet wide, with a wingspan of 124 feet, and weighs almost 255,000 pounds. So the whole, like, the size of the plane does not correspond with the size of the hole.
Okay.
And so that's why a lot of people think that potentially a missile hit, because, like, theoretically, a Boeing 757, if it crashed, it would not make that size hole. It would make a larger hole.
Well, but you also, I mean, we've also talked about how, you know, Andrew brings up the point that pilots have said it had to be somebody really skilled who made that flight, made that, you know, that made that crash. And of course, we talked about how this guy kept failing out. I mean, we're talking about so many, like, potential either coincidences or dumbfound luck, or, I mean, maybe this could maybe the fact, the size of the crash that was made, like, the size of the hole, maybe that was just, yeah, maybe it was supposed to be bigger because it was a plane, but maybe just how the impact was, I don't know, did they run simulations regarding this that would say otherwise?
I couldn't find any test results, but I'm sure they did. NIST, which we talked about last episode, I'm sure they did test results based on the thing, but...
And
I mean, one of
you
the
also
big...
said that the plane was going 700 miles an hour, right?
That was my estimation. That was, like, oh, okay. I know that roughly a average passenger jet goes about 500 miles an hour in the air.
So, and I know that it's a large vehicle. A plane's huge, and it's going really fast. Like, let's just think about this a little bit. If you imagine, like, let's just imagine something like a pebble. If you throw a pebble at someone, you know, it's going to hit them and it's going to bruise. And you expect, like, it to leave a little mark, you know, and you expect that pebble to leave like a size, like what that pebble should leave behind. But let's say you take that same pebble and you apply such trajectory, like, theoretically speaking, like, someone could throw a pebble and it with enough force, as opposed to just bruising, it could pierce through something instead.
Yeah.
So as opposed to leaving this giant mark, it would just go through. And that mark would end up just being smaller. You know, it just goes straight through, right? Because of how fast it's going, as opposed to leaving a noticeable trail, it leaves such precision. It's going, that speed also creates precision. So do you guys understand what I'm saying? Like, this plane was going at such a high speed that potentially maybe the precision of the hit and speed coupled with it just created a smaller hole because of these factors.
I mean, theoretically, that's might have happened. But let's say, for instance, that pebble, once again, is going that fast. It's making this hole. But either the pebble comes out the backside and you get to see the pebble again, or it breaks up into smaller stuff, but there's still evidence of that pebble being there, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas with this crash, there's very little evidence of the plane actually existing.
Yeah, it's interesting that you don't get, it's because of a underfunded camera system, but you don't get a good clear shot of the plane. But, I mean, clearly people saw it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of eyewitnesses claiming that they saw it, and I mean, I'm not saying that they're wrong, but, like, people could lie about that. But, you know, also, why would they? What do they have to gain? So, like, I mean, you can see it both ways. I don't know where I stand on whether it's a missile or a plane. But once again, this is, like, there are a million different coincidences here all in this event. And so it's, like, really, really weird that all of these things just happen to go correctly. And we have this really crappy pilot able to do a maneuver that one of the most skilled pilots in the world couldn't do. So
but it is at least unanimously agreed upon that some kind of aerial projectile hit the Pentagon, right? It's not
definitely,
like,
yeah,
there's some theory floating around that
Wolverine
bombs or something were placed in the Pentagon and that's actually what happened, right?
I couldn't find a like a bomb theory.
Okay, that's good to know, because we already have the shitty camera thing. I don't want to think that the Pentagon could also like be so undersecured, like so like poorly secured that like somebody could actually plant bombs.
America, baby, instead. America, get it. So I was wrong with you. I was about to, like, well, I was like, go do it, man. Oh, say, can you see?
But we do have, like, this is an airplane that took off from an airport and then didn't land anywhere.
Yes.
So, like, that, is that airplane went somewhere.
Or did it?
Yes.
So that's something that needs to be accounted for if, mm-hmm. if the theory is the airplane didn't hit the building.
Yep.
And all the people on that aircraft have to be accounted for.
Right. And it's where is the Pentagon specifically? It's like way off to the East Coast, right?
Yeah, we're not that far away.
Yeah, it's
from
in the East
guys,
Coast.
But yeah, it's like up, it's like way above me a little bit. Virginia, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Maryland area, okay. I think. I don't know. I'm just talking.
Yep.
Okay. That's the right. reason I bring this point up is like, let's say the plane didn't crash into the Pentagon and we're talking about where could it have gone? Like, the only logical place that the plane could have gone and they were not able to track it is like he turned, missed the Pentagon, and just went straight off into the ocean. Like just kept flying, went into the ocean.
He'd have to go a good ways to get to the ocean without being noticed. That's a pretty long shot.
So there's just like no other logical explanation for the plane disappearing other than it made impact with the Pentagon.
Yeah.
So this plane did leave radar
at
some point in time.
Okay. You don't know what specific point?
While it was in the air, it left the radar, and then as it was nearing its destination, it came back onto radar.
Is there a way for a plane to take itself off radar, or...?
Yes. I believe they can switch off, but I think there's, like... I could be so far off base on this, but I think they have a way to like basically turn off their beacon. And basically what has to happen is the people in the tower have to realize that and then turn on like an alternate way to track them, or they rely on other pilots in the nearby area, like checking in like, yep, no, I see him over there. He's traveling this direction. Looks like he's about this altitude. But I believe if they have a switch, they can just straight up turn off their tracking beacon.
I also would like to point out that every pilot is trained to, you know some sort of counter-terrorist maneuvers. Say potentially their plane gets hijacked. We've seen enough movies, and we've seen real events that have happened.
On that note, is this something that's recent since 9/11, or was this in place before 9/11?
This was in place beforehand. But every pilot is given a specific code that they're supposed to send out if their plane gets hijacked, or like something's in the process of being hijacked, and that number is 7500. You don't really need to know the number, but
yeah, now they have to change it, Brendan. Why did you do that?
I don't think it's specific, or like I
guys don't tell the rest of the internet, please.
Anyway, so. So you have that number. None of the planes that day sent out that number.
Weird.
Now, we don't know what happened up in the planes, which says a lot, because like, we don't know what happened.
Like, if I was going to hijack a plane, I would do is take my guys, we'd walk straight to the cockpit, kill the pilots, and just start flying the plane wherever we wanted to go. Like, I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't make a big deal about it at all. It'd
you
be quiet.
Do the whole, hey, this fast. Is a hijacking. No one.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't stand up and be like, everybody get down. No, I'd just do it. And like the passengers wouldn't even know if they were being hijacked.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Do you know if they had weapons? Because I know, isn't it correct that a TSA security, like the TSA and airport security got a lot more aggressive after 9/11? Like it became a lot more like...
Yeah, obviously.
It was a lot. So, I mean, yes. Like, you know, obviously TSA pats people down. Like, we have, you know, they have x-rays, scanning machines to see if, like, anybody has any suspicious, like, anything suspicious on them. But, I mean, was there anything like that in place before 9/11 incident that, like, they checked to see if any of these men had guns on them? or weapons?
I mean, none of them had guns.
I mean, it's thought they had box cutters.
Yep, that's
what we've talked about before.
So none
yeah.
of,
I mean, but yes.
So none
yes,
of these people
Sakeith,
had
the
weapons.
Yes.
None of these people had
yeah,
weapons.
They did.
Well, they had box cutters, and box cutters okay. sounds wimpy, yeah. but like they were the only ones okay. with a knife, basically.
Yeah, they had box. Yeah. Okay, that's fair. They had. I was about to freak out and say, "What the hell?" They
no,
didn't
you,
have
you
weapons.
No, you did freak
and
out.
Did
I think
anything.
Is what happened.
I did freak out because I did think that they did have weapons.
Feel free to freak out, though. Dude, if I'm on a hijacked airplane and there are, like, 50 other people with me, I'm just like, man, fuck this. This guy's not going to be able to cut through all of us. Guys, let's get him.
But you don't want to be in the first
well,
wave.
See,
oh, you don't.
That's
but
a
like,
good point.
Cut.
That's something I've actually talked about a lot with my friends, not to take it away
but like,
from
but
the
like,
comedy
if...
that was about to happen. But, like, how do we know how we're going to react in a situation like that? Because your survival
be
instincts
yeah,
usually
yeah,
are going
to
kick in and say... Don't F up. We can probably make it out of this. You say right now, yeah. and I would say the same thing, like, Brendan, let's go get this dude. Let's kick his ass. But when it gets down to it, it's like variables come into play for every scenario. They're just so different. If you see a chance to make it out without conflict or to make it out alive, just letting him, you know, appeasement almost, you're probably going to take that. And I don't know what they
yeah,
saw on that plane. So, like, when people say,
I mean,
I'm just going to rant for like a second. Like, one of the things that makes me extremely angry is when people talk about the passengers on the planes and how they were like wimpy and didn't do anything. It's like, how dare you? Like, you don't know what they were going through. Yeah. You don't know what was going on in their heads or what kind of fear they were dealing with. Like, how dare you say, like, well, they're such wimps, yada yada. Like, it's just disrespectful for the dead, you know? Regardless of
yeah, you're totally
how
right.
they were killed or who killed them for agree. What reasons, whatever, they're dead. And it just, like, I will just straight up get into a public fist fight if I hear someone say that.
You're absolutely right.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
100%.
We shouldn't.
No one knows what happened up there. So it's theorized that they hijacked the plane using box cutters, but... maybe they didn't even have to use them. Maybe everyone on the flight was just like, we're just flying a plane. I don't know why we're turning around, but I'm sure the pilot
right.
will come on the speaker and tell
this
us why we're turning
around.
This
is what I was saying. Around. Like, I would just go up there and do it, and the passengers wouldn't even know.
Yeah,
and,
I mean...
Like, and, like, when you're in a plane and the plane turns, like, you don't fucking know. Like, you're not... You don't know where you're going. You're just
most
like, oh, the plane's turning. It's fine.
Most people... Well, maybe not most people, but a good portion of people are probably sleeping through their flight.
I think most Americans yep. are just very stupid and don't care about their surroundings. To be fair.
Yeah.
Not to say that I am stupid and don't care about my surroundings, but as soon as I get on a plane, dude,
no,
I go to sleep.
Yeah, you're not stupid. It's like, other than us.
Everyone else.
Like, this yeah. is how you grow
and
listeners,
except the people
right?
listen to the show.
The yeah, listeners of this program and my program specifically are all idiots, right? That we talked about this, right? No? Okay.
I mean, probably.
Or was it that they were the non... I get confused. I'm sorry. Let's just keep going.
So we were on a good segue, but unfortunately we got sidetracked there a little
by
bit.
By another segue.
Two segued.
That's exactly what the people on the fourth plane yeah. did. They supposedly, and we don't know if this is true at all, but they supposedly heard about the events that happened during the Twin Towers and during and like the Pentagon crash, mm-hmm. and they rose up, they fought back, and they gained back control
Flight
of the plane.
93?
Yeah, because they realized they were going to crash it.
Yeah, Flight 93. So Flight 93, they depart 42 minutes late from Newark International 42 Airport
minutes
at 8:42 a.m.
Late.
With 30...
What happened?
Yeah, it is. I
right.
don't know.
Cool.
But 37 passengers were on board, and 4 hijackers were on board. It's to note that this had the least amount of hijackers. There theoretically was supposed to be a 20th.
Didn't they get him or something like that at TSA?
They did. Yeah, they got him. They got him not. They actually got him before the entire event happened. So
okay.
they had to proceed with just the
19.
Yeah, just the 19. There's a whole if you read the book that I was talking about from the first episode, The Looming Tower, the last like chapter goes into the entire interview with the 20th hijacker. And it's actually a really interesting sort of scene, because it almost feels like a movie. And to be fair, I listened to it on audiobook, so it did kind of feel like a movie. But basically, they just go through the interview and talk about what happened. And basically, he is the guy who identified all of the people in the attack.
Okay.
Because they were like, hey, there's supposedly an attack going on coming up. And I don't think he had all that much information on the attack before, but he was like recruited as the 20th guy, but he didn't know anything yet. And so they went through and they interviewed him, and they were like, hey, man, tell us who, like, tell us some of the guys that you know from Al-Qaeda. And so he pointed out all 19 of the hijackers. And then they were like, oh, yeah, by the way, that event already happened. You just incriminated them. It's a really awesome part of that book. It really ends on like a super intense
That's cool.
note. So I recommend checking that out. It's a really great book. And you can get it for free if you use our Audible trial. But moving on, back to your regularly scheduled
nice mid-roll placement.
Here. Yeah, you know, I wasn't expecting to do that, but
I was just about to ask you, where could they listen to that book?
Anyway, so the flight was taken control at around 9:28, and then the passengers gained back control of the flight, and it crashed 80 miles south of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Now, the 9/11 Commission comes to the conclusion that the target was either the U.S. Capitol building or the White House. So, yeah. They were able to overcome and fuck the terrorists up.
USA?
Freaking America, baby. Yep. It's beautiful. Love it. Love it, man.
Anyway, so that's basically, for the most part, what happened on 9/11. Bunch of different events, a lot of coincidences here and there. It's a little bizarre to think sort of like what happened there. Mm-hmm. This is literally the event that shaped America today. This is the biggest terrorist attack ever.
It's like Andrew said, I believe, in the first episode, where it brought us out of World War II into the...
Brought us out of Cold War.
Brought us out of the World War II era, but we can argue about that later.
So I was right? Thanks, Andrew.
You just said World War II. You didn't say World War II era.
Yep.
What the fuck ever, Curtis?
I'd love to watch you guys fight over my words. That would bring me great joy.
Anyway, so next episode, we're going to be talking about because we've talked about the conspiracies here and there. You know, we've set the stones in place. But, you know, let's say this was an inside job and America did do it. Now we're going to ask the big question, why? We're going to ask that next episode.
Everything comes to a close.
Wow.
Yep.
They'll have to wait a whole week to find out?
A whole week.
What are they going
to
do in the meantime?
Listen to my stuff.
Listen to Andrew's podcast.
Listen to Andrew's podcast.
Mid-roll placement for myself.
There you go.
All righty.
But what else can they listen to?
Other episodes that I've done. Never mind. Sorry.
They can listen to more episodes of the Monday
and
American.
And Mulder was right. You guys have more than one? They've got plenty of options between the two of it. Like, they should have no problem whatsoever.
If you're one of those listeners who skipped part one and two, you need to go back and listen to part one and two.
Get over your selfishness and go listen to part one and two.
Or you could go listen to our JFK collaboration that we did with Andrew.
That was pretty fun. That was a lot of fun. Except for the whole president shot on the street thing. Other than that, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But definitely check out Andrew. You can find him on everywhere that you can find podcasts, pretty much.
It's easiest to just go to the MondayAmerican.com and kind of springboard off of there.
Yep.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, if you like the show a lot and like learning about history and everything, as well as other conspiracies, you can head to audibletrial.com/MWRcast and you guys get a free audiobook trial, which is like pretty cool.
So between Audible, us, and Andrew, that should fill your week till next week's episode, right?
Exactly. All you right. got 180,000 books to choose from. And if you sign up with us today, it's a free trial, so you get one
but
free
what
book
if I
free.
Want to cancel?
Wow, what's that link again?
You can absolutely do that after.
Do I get a
trial.
Full? Do I get feel a full free refund? To do that.
Well, it's a trial, I mean, it's free, so, it's free. So
you do get a full refund.
But do I get to keep
yeah,
the book
yeah,
that I downloaded?
Book. You do get to
what?
Keep the
yes,
book.
Yes, you do.
It's literally why haven't you done it? Because
I don't know.
You literally have a free book. Free book. I'm sure I'm gonna try and think of a book pertaining to 9/11. There's a handful
That's
of
such
them on
light
there.
Reads.
9/11, the book.
Well, and if you really, you know, if you really like Audible, then you know you can also just go ahead after you've subscribed to a free trial with our link, then. You could, if you like it enough, you could definitely just get a full subscription.
Yeah, you can read about how people yep. milk cows, like you're milking this ad right now.
I mean,
there's.
I will say that Brendan seems to have, you know, soaked up a lot of information because of our sponsor. So, you know,
I definitely
Brendan
have.
Has
I've read
impressed me actually with the amount of stuff that he has researched. And I mean, how long ago did you reach out to me for this? Like, what, a month, 2 months ago? Yeah, you've
like
been
that.
Doing work, dude.
I try. I try to do that. Once again, that link is audibletrial.com/MWRcast.
Say it again.
Audible.com/MWRcast.
Come again, I didn't hear you. Can you say it one more time?
Say it one more time. Go ahead.
Audibletrial.com/MWRcast.
All right, that's enough times.
Yeah. Anyway, if you guys like the music on this podcast, definitely check out Christian Tedino on SoundCloud. Someday he's going to do an episode about Tupac. Someday.
I'm excited about that. He's a really nice guy.
He is. He's pretty awesome. If you like us, you can find us where you can find podcasts. You can find us on our website, MulderWasRight.wordpress.com. We have all of our sources there, as well as
our WordPress
some
does
of the stuff
link to
that
all
I've
of
alluded
the,
to.
Yeah, and our WordPress does link to all of the places that you can find us for podcasts.
All the dope places.
This includes SoundCloud. All the dope places. This includes SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Oh, there's other places too, like a bunch of podcasters just grab
are
them.
You,
and
are you guys
gobble
on Pornhub?
Them up.
Pornhub.
Cool.
Yep, we're on Pornhub. Yep. I upload there.
thanks, Curtis.
My personal account.
You can also find us on anchor.fm. And fun fact, you can now find the Anchor. You can find the Anchor at short episodes. You can find that on iTunes and Google Play as well. Or, sorry, Apple Podcasts. That's the correct branding of
they
that.
They will literally
Apple
kill
Podcasts.
You if you don't say it right, dude. You better watch out.
Yeah. Steve Jobs' ghost. I just saw him.
Apple Podcasts. So, yeah, you can find Mulder Was Right on Apple Podcasts. You can also find Mulder Was Right Anchor on Apple Podcasts.
You
so,
should.
Yeah, you can just get them from one place. So, right. So you should just listen to that, too. It's little filler stuff that does previews and post shows, and we get
yes,
our final
yes,
thoughts.
Akeem.
Plus, we're gonna try and
you should
we're
all
gonna try and do. Can I
Jesus.
Finish my
yeah,
statement?
Yeah, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting.
We're
on
We're gonna
you.
Try and do a little bit more stuff with Anchor here. So, yeah, gonna, stay tuned for that.
We're gonna try.
You should also visit our Twitter and check out our alternative fact of the day.
It brings me a laugh mm-hmm.
yep,
almost
and our,
every day.
And our Facebook page.
It does you a giggle.
Yeah,
gives me
we
a
do
giggle.
Link to all
it
the
gives
tweets.
Me a little tickle in my tummy.
Yeah, just like a small
a smirk, a hearty smirk, or
in an otherwise
occasionally I'll
world.
Heartily breathe through my nostrils at accelerated
yeah,
rate.
So that link is at MWRcast on Facebook and Twitter. Sometimes you just got to ignore you guys and move on.
Great.
I'm on business.
Okay. Are we done talking about? All this social media garbage. Can we?
Yeah, that
we,
was a really
now.
Long.
We
ad.
Are done with that.
Really long, 30 minutes.
And
at
we will see you next week.
All right,
where we're going to be talking about why everything happened.
Wake up, sheeple.
Sheeple. Have you ever been sheeple? To DMV?
What in the hell happened?
Sheeple.
Sheeple.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
What's a DMV?
Hey, yeah. Okay. So cut some of this out, probably.
What's a DMV?
Don't cut any of this.